This is bookcareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of bookcareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 77 of bookcareers.com Live. Well, we're just out of an absolutely fabulous Book Careers Job Club meeting with Callie Simmons, recruitment manager for HarperCollins Publishers. It was such a good meeting. It would be very wrong of us not to share with you our Q&A with her. So here it goes. Hello, Callie. How are you today?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. Sun shining, even if you can't get out in it today, having to work, but yeah, pretty good, thanks.
Yeah, and we've seen that HarperCollins have gone back to work. How is the pandemic affecting recruitment at HarperCollins at the moment?
So recruitment slowed down a fair bit, obviously over the last few months. I think it's just been the business has been a lot more cautious about our hiring just while we figure out what the impact of all of this is with, you know, bookstores being closed. And yeah, it has all been a bit up in the air. So we're still sort of working out how the situation is going to affect the business. But I mean, we are hoping to get some roles moving over the next few months. Like, it's definitely not a case of cancelling jobs that we were hoping to hire. It's just a case of, yeah, being a bit more cautious and taking our time with it and making sure it's the right thing for that division and that part of the organization.
Great. So you don't have a recruitment freeze at the moment?
No, it's, I wouldn't call it a freeze, no, because we have, there is a one or two roles I think on the website that were really business critical that we have managed to move on. And like I said, I am hoping there'll be some roles opening up fairly shortly. So yeah, it's definitely slower. Like this time last year, we probably had about 20 vacancies, and obviously at the moment we've got just a handful. So it's obviously had an impact, but yeah, it should pick up a little bit later on, like in the summer, in the year.
Okay, lovely. Do you think HarperCollins will advertise more remote positions going forward or offer working from home sometimes? I suppose the question really is there any way to work for HarperCollins if you're not based in London?
So it's hard to say what our jobs are going to look like. Are going to look like going forward. Like, we're still sort of getting our heads around it. And like I said, like what the impact is. But I mean, we went to remote working within 24 hours of this all happening, and it worked pretty well. Like it's, you know, work has been happening. People have been really productive and really adapted to what's been going on, which has been brilliant. I think, yeah, like most businesses, everyone's looking at how we can utilise this and use it going forward and how it's going to affect the way that we work. I think it might create more opportunities sort of based further from the office of people like not in London / home counties, like not commutable, where they'll be able to work, you know, more remotely, but still with a little bit of face time in the office to, you know, if they need to meet, if it's editorial, if they need to meet authors or, you know, have meetings with design, etc., that sort of thing. So I think it will change things, but I mean, I think it's more a wait and see, like, because obviously you want to make sure it works for the teams, and for a business that has historically very much been in the office, it's going to be sort of a slow process and making sure that, yeah, it's the right thing to do. But I think there will be more of that. We will see more of the remote working. And I mean, we've also opened an office in Manchester called Harper North. So, you know, and people obviously based up there will be able to apply for jobs once that kick starts again. So it's changing, that's for sure.
That's brilliant. Now, some of the questions we've had is, one is, I'm currently freelancing whilst looking for a job. How could I become a freelancer for HarperCollins? Is there a particular email address I could send my CV to, or certain people I could email?
So I don't deal with freelancers myself. It's normally dealt with in the different imprints and divisions, because they build up relationships with editors with specific skill sets depending on the titles that they're putting out there. Historically they've sort of managed it within the divisions. So the teams will have relationships with freelancers that they build over time. So I guess advice, like, well, you can email, there's inquiries at harpercollins.co.uk. You can email that and see if you can get put forward. They might have freelancer inbox, like within the inbox, like I said, they might manage it differently, just because they all do it themselves. So you can send some information through to inquiries at HarperCollins and see if they're able to put you through to somebody. But for the most part, like, the best way to get in touch if you want to do freelance is like the networking thing. And I know that's a lot harder at the moment, but like utilizing LinkedIn, you know, following editors and marketers and PR people on Twitter, you know, engaging with them, tell them what you've got, what you can do for them, and just sort of go about that. It can be a bit of a slower process. It's not quite as simple as just applying for a job. Like, it can be for like a permanent position or a longer term contract. You have to sort of get in there and build those relationships.
Okay, great.
There's also there are like some freelancer platforms you can sign up to where you build yourself a profile, and it sort of works a bit like, I think the Read app does this, but it's like that swipe left, swipe right concept. So you can build a profile on there with, like, if you've got proofreading skills or whatever it may be, and then the business or the editorial teams will go on there and you can match up the freelancer with the job. I can find out the names and send them to you for something to share afterwards, actually. But I know that that is something that we've used when there haven't necessarily been freelancers around when we needed them.
Yeah, I think the key one is Readsy.
Yes, we published. That sounds familiar.
A lot of editors and freelance editors are on. That's great. Now, what is the best way to stand out when applying for entry-level jobs in this post-pandemic climate? Do you feel that the publishing industry has become even more competitive to enter during COVID-19?
So, I mean, it's definitely more competitive at the moment just because there's a lot less jobs, and it's already a very candidate-driven market for recruitment within publishing. There's a lot more candidates than there are jobs. So it's always been competitive. So the fact that there aren't as many roles, then yeah, absolutely. But I think it will be back up, like lockdown will ease, you know, things will start going back to like they were before this all happened, and the hiring and the vacancies will follow from there. I mean, my advice would just be to use this time to like prepare for when the market opens up again, like get the research in, like really understand the imprints that you're passionate about, and that extra research makes such a difference when you're applying and making you stand out against, you know, what can be in some situations like up to 100 other candidates. Like, it is tough, and we know how tough it is, and we try and make it as fair as possible by having a blind recruitment platform and, you know, offering up traineeships and things like that. But yeah, it's going to be tough for a little while, but don't lose hope because it will pick back up and there will be jobs coming later on in the year.
That is really positive to hear. Really positive to hear. And you mentioned the blind recruitment, that HarperCollins uses the Be Applied system. I recently had about 4 hours training on that.
Oh, so did you?
I'll be able to answer lots of questions about that with clients and candidates, and I'll try and do a podcast that in the future.
Yeah.
But the question has been, how do you ensure that you score highly in the blind recruitment process at HarperCollins, which for those of you that don't know, HarperCollins don't accept CVs and covering letters. It's about answering 3 short questions that are based on the skills for the job. Are there buzzwords that you need to make sure that you include? How can you score highly on the questions?
So, I mean, we don't use it for every single job. We use it more for sort of the junior and entry level jobs where the application volume is a bit higher. So basically how it works is for every single role that we put on our website via Applied, I'll sit with the manager for half an hour, and we design these questions and make sure they're really bespoke to that individual job. And what that does is means that we can understand that person's capability and how competent they are, or the skills or the knowledge they've got. So I guess my advice would be is to sort of look at the question and try and work out what are the skills that the hiring manager and Callie are trying to test, like by answering this question. Like it's sort of a little bit of reading between the lines. So yeah, the questions are all still skills-based. So every application should obviously be super tailored to that role. Like if it's an editorial role, for example, like think about the imprint. If they ask you about, you know, a book that's had a big impact, or you were a marketing campaign for a book, so like try and find books within that imprint so they can relate to them and they can see that you actually know, you know, you're invested in this imprint. You understand the books, you understand the audience that they're trying to reach. Like that's the bit that makes a difference. Like you get so many answers on there that are the same, and it's the ones where they've gone at a different angle or managed to read between the lines, or, you know, really put that skill into a solid example about how they could put that across and what they could offer the team, that makes a big difference when you're going through, you know, what can be hundreds of application question answers at a time.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say there are buzzwords. It's much more about those really strong examples and getting across, you know, what skills are they looking for here? Like editorial assistant, it's going to be attention to detail, communication, organization, those sorts of things. Like that's what you want to get across on the Apply platform for sure.
That's great.
And one other thing, obviously, it's a publishing company. Grammar, punctuation is so important. You'd be so surprised how many people apply for an editorial assistant job and they haven't checked their work for their application. Like, it's a little bit mind-boggling. Like, you want to be an editor and, you know, you've not put a comma. You know, the editors really care about that sort of stuff. Of course they would. So that's something to remember as well.
Yeah, I am not surprised. I see so much of it.
And yeah, I think they just get excited and don't think. But yeah, it's something you need to think about for sure.
And it's something I really want to impress to anybody who is listening to this podcast today, that no matter what you send somebody, whether it's a message on LinkedIn, a text message, an email, filling in an online form, fat fingers are not an excuse. You do have to check and double check, especially with autocorrect, to make sure that everything is absolutely word perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, if somebody gets past the online application stage, what do you look for in a candidate in an interview? What positive aspects of a person need to stand out to you in an interview?
So, I mean, you try not to make it too personal in an interview, isn't it? Because, you know, it's not the personality of the person that's getting the job. It's their skills and experience. But obviously, it's really important to be able to get that across in a way that we can really understand and dig deep into what you can offer for that particular job. In terms of, like, standing out, I mean, it's the thinking outside the box thing. Like, what can you do in that interview that the other four people who might be at first stage aren't going to think to do? Like, we've had candidates come to interviews with, like, I keep talking about editorial, I will try and branch out and talk about like PR, marketing and sales as well. But like, for example, there was someone who came to an interview and they built a list of books that they thought that particular imprint should have acquired. And it just really showed that they understood like the message that imprint were trying to get out there, you know, the type of audience that they target. And it wasn't something we had asked them to do. They just came along and said, like, these are some books that I've read that I think would be a perfect fit for whoever it was. Mills and Boone, I think. But yeah, I mean, like, that was great. And like, she really stood out. And you remember, like, oh, the person who brought that portfolio along. And, you know, there was someone else who brought along like marketing campaign examples. They built like a marketing campaign off their own bat. Like I said, we hadn't asked them to, for a recent title that we published. And it's like, wow, you really thought outside the book here. You thought, how can I show my stuff in a way that other candidates aren't going to think to? So yeah, I mean, obviously people who can be creative in that aspect, that's obviously something that's always going to have a big impact on the interviewers. But yeah, it's obviously getting those skills across in an eloquent way, you know, using varied examples, really trying to, you know, share as much of your experience as you can in that hour, hour and a half, however long you've got in the interview, and taking it from there.
That's great advice. And that's something we always recommend, is if you've got an interview that is hopefully face-to-face, that you take along some portfolio, even if it's an entry-level job and you've been blogging or producing things for a student newspaper, that it's those kind of examples that demonstrate your work, that give the interviewer something to look at.
Yeah. Definitely. And even if it's like a follow-up, like after the interview, like, thanks for meeting me, it was great to come in, blah, blah, blah. And then send over some snippets of, you know, yeah, work you've done, like books you think were that they've read recently. Like, you can write book reviews for titles they've put out there, all that sorts of stuff. It does make a difference. And yeah, for a competitive market, you want to stick in their head.
Great. Now, I know that the graduate scheme has gone on hold for the time being, but for those of the listening, do you have any tips for a standout application for future graduate schemes?
So I guess, I mean, I've covered a couple of things, but I guess it's the research, you know, the research into the business, really understanding what you can get out of the traineeship or the graduate scheme, what you can offer the business, and getting that across in your application. Like, once again, the schemes are really popular, and you do find a lot of the applications are quite similar. So it's once again thinking about how you can be a bit different. But obviously there's only so much I can say, because if you're going to be different, I'm probably not going to know what that is. So it's something you've got to work out for yourself, but it's just having that edge. Like lots of our trainees, I think a lot of people apply for it just thinking about the fact they want to go into editorial. But we've got people like Nancy Adamora, for example. She joined through the BAME scheme a few years ago, and then she left the business for a while, and she's recently come back in a role that focuses on like audience diversity and inclusion in terms of like authors that we work with and that we acquire. So it's not just working editorial. Like, we've got people in strategy, business development, like market business development. So yeah, you know, what could you offer? Like, what sort of path could you take? Is it going to be editorial? And there's nothing wrong with that. But if there is a different angle or a different path you want to take, then getting that across is going to look, that's going to be a bit different. So yeah, I don't know if this really gives, there's only so much you can say, isn't there? Because, you know, you've got to do the research, you've got to get that application in. But yeah, you've always got to be thinking about how you can stand out.
Okay, and one of the standout questions from a previous HarperCollins graduate scheme, there was a question: what would you say to Charlie Redmayne if you met him in the lift? What kind of answers are you expecting for this question? How would you want people to answer this question?
So, I don't think I reviewed many of these, because there was quite a lot of us that all had to muck in, because obviously it was very popular. But I'd interpret that question as, this is a chance for you to ask someone with incredible insight and information on the industry that you want to work in, you know, how can you make the most out of that 30 seconds with him in the lift? So I guess here we're looking at, you know, how can you get the most out of a very short amount of time with a man with a lot of information? You know, he's I guess, yeah, what's the most you can get out of it? So maybe something about, like, I don't know, trends in different markets. What's the next big expansion that's going to take place in terms of like locations? What's going to be the next big trend after audios and podcasts and their popularity starts to diminish? And, or maybe, you know, if I was looking to work for HC, what he looks for in an employee, what values, what motivators, like what makes you successful working for a business like that. I think it was meant to be that you could interpret it in different ways, and it was more to get maybe a bit of an idea about how the applicant thinks. And that one wasn't one that you get marked down because you think differently to us. Obviously we want as much diversity of thought in the business as possible. It was more about, you know, yeah, how you can make the most of a chance of asking someone like Charlie a very quick question and lift and getting the most out of it.
Okay. Do you see the types of future roles at HarperCollins changing due to COVID? If so, which types of roles are likely to emerge from this situation? And are there any existing roles that you see becoming less or more important in the future?
I think it's more about that the roles will change in terms of the skill sets that we look for. Like, obviously everyone's had to adapt massively. Like, everyone's lives have been completely uprooted in the last few months in terms of our routine and how we go about our day to day. So I guess we're going to be looking for people who can, you know, like I said, we adapted to remote working in 24 hours, like people who can adapt when things do go up in the air. Maybe it's much more about skills in like problem solving and supporting your team and, you know, being a great manager. And that I think that's what we're looking for. That's what might change, like in terms of the skills and the way we work, rather than certain roles becoming obsolete or new roles coming in. I can't personally see that, but then it's also another case of like, let's wait and see, you never know. Yeah. But it's nothing that we've envisioned like right now.
Yeah, I think this is the what's becoming clear about not just the pandemic, but we've all been in a completely unprecedented situation. There are suddenly lots and lots of roads, and which road anyone goes down or decides.
Yeah, what's viable. And it's still happening, isn't it? Like, we're still adjusting. We're still trying to figure out what the impact this has been on, you know, the book industry and everything else. So until things have settled and we can see all of that sort of in hindsight, then that's when we'll start figuring out what the changes, if there are any changes that need to be made. But for the moment, I think it's all going to, yeah, jobs are going to stay fairly similar to what they were, I think.
Okay. Does being a writer looking for publication hinder your chances of getting a job in a publishing field like marketing or editing? Should I mention being a writer in a cover letter or hide it? I don't want recruiters to think I'm only applying for jobs as a back way into being published, because that's not true.
This has come up a few times, actually. I've been asked this question before. So we do get people who apply for jobs and they are clearly just looking to get published. And obviously that's not the route. If you want to look to get published, you have to, you know, send your book into the open submissions or, you know, whatever, speak to an agency. So if we have had applications where it's been very obvious. I think with that, it's just about getting it across in the right way and picking your moment as to when to talk about it. So, you know, if the question's asking you something completely unrelated to writing and then they throw in at the end that they're a writer and, you know, then you're going to say, okay, that's not really relevant to what I'm asking you. So you want to make sure that you're answering pointed questions like concisely, and throwing that in does, from like my perspective, that kind of looks like, are you just trying to tell me that you're a writer? Because obviously that I can't do anything about that. I don't do anything to do with like publishing books. So I guess I do like it when, if candidates are writers as well, and I think it's better to talk about that sort of stuff in an interview rather than in your application, because at least in the interview you can give it context and it also can show a little bit of your personality, you know, what you're into, like what sorts of genres that you're really passionate about, and also maybe an understanding once again like of the audiences that, you know, that sort of genre target. So if it gives an insight into that creative side, which is useful in an interview, because I can ask you more questions, dig deeper, and it's put in the right context. But sort of just throwing it in at the end of an application question like that I'm a writer, then, and it's not relevant, then it's just not going to come across in the way that you probably want it to. So yeah, I'd save it for like an actual conversation rather than, yeah, in writing when it can get really misconstrued.
Yeah, unless the job application's actually all, or the job advertisement's actually asking for some.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if we ask, you know, tell us a bit about you, you know, your creative ability, then absolutely put in there that you're a writer. But if it's asking about how you organise your time and then you throw in at the end, do you know what I mean? It's just not going to work.
Yeah. It comes back with that, some of our corresponding advice that one of the worst things you can ever say to a publisher is that you've written a book.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I think it's a nice way of getting an insight, but I mean, different interviewers are going to have different opinions on it. It's not like a one size fits all answer for that one. Pick your moment and read the room, I think, is the best way to answer that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that intensive Q&A, Kelly.
No worries.
If anybody wants to reach out to HarperCollins, you can look at their job vacancies on their website or follow them on Twitter at jobs@Harper. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers or on Twitter @BookCareers or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.